Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. This is the last hour this week that I'm going to see Rob. Rob is not committed to this. Rob, you can attest to football season. I have made a promise to you guys. I will give you everything I have in the fall. I will give you everything I have in the winter. I will give you most of what I have in the spring. Now, summer is a little different. Come on now. It's July. I mean, you want me to be here then too? Come on now. It's a lot. Rob doesn't have that same commitment. Rob chose to get married during the sports calendar. Just selfish is what it is. There was sports happening. It was during NFL training camp. We know how important that is. Selfish. He then decided to take his honeymoon before the Chiefs' first preseason game. How are we going to break down the depth chart and the important key position battles for the Chiefs if we're not together as a unit? But you know what? I let that slide because Rob's my friend. But I feel like I'm getting soft because now Rob is missing a Red Friday. And for what? A regular season college basketball game? Ooh, North Carolina's coming. Yay. I'm sure it's going to be great. Haven't you seen KU win enough home basketball games? That's still exciting to you? That's still fun to you? How old are you now? How many times have you seen KU win a home game? It'd be one thing if they were on a, do whatever you want on a Saturday or a Sunday or a Tuesday at 8 p.m. First off, I might be mad at Kansas for being inconsiderate and not building their basketball schedule around your work schedule. Like that's, come on now. They gotta think about somebody other than themselves. Real selfish energy I've seen.
Fact or fiction, this game was at 7, you'd also be in the arena.
Yeah, but it's not. But it's not. Yeah, if it was at 7 after the show, yeah, I'd be there.
6:30?
No, I wouldn't go. 6:30, I wouldn't go.
You wouldn't show up at the under 16?
Nah, it's too much. It's too much. Then you got to walk. You got to walk past people. You got to ask people to move. It's too much. Nah, it's too much. It's one thing to show up late to a Royals game. Trust me, ain't nobody in your seat. You show up late to a Royals game. You show up late to a KU game. It's too much work. Nah, it's too much work. I got to be in my seat before you guys start doing all the little culty things. You know the culty things I'm talking about. The 5 minutes before a KU game is a cult. They start singing to each other and chanting to each other and Bill Self's blowing on his hands. It's too much. It's way too much for me. I can't be a part of it. I normally sit in the concourse. I'll just be on the phone. I'll go to the bathroom. I'll go to Rally House or something. I can't be a part of that cult-like activity they got going on over there at Allen Fieldhouse. All right, so there's a lot to get into between now and the end of the show. I'm appreciative of you being here with us today for this wonderful Thursday as we get you ready for Thursday Night Football. Let's talk about that. Let's just make that de facto hit number one, and we'll maybe get to the hits here in a little bit. We'll just play it off vibes. So tonight, the Ravens play the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't really think we need to spend too much time talking about the Ravens. I think they're good. Rob, you think they're good. Text line, you think they're good. If you're watching this on a stream, I imagine you think the Ravens are good. We all are on the same place about the Ravens. I don't know if we're on the same place about the Cincinnati Bengals. So let me tell you who they've beaten this season, because we play this same game with the Broncos. We play this same game with the Chargers. Nobody is exempt on this show. The Bengals' four wins are against Carolina, who have benched their quarterback. The Giants, who are going to bench their quarterback and pick another one. Cleveland, whose quarterback was the worst starting quarterback in the league, and he is now injured. And they beat Las Vegas, another team that has benched their quarterback. So they have certainly not beaten a murderer's row kind of team. This is my problem with Cincinnati. We talk about Cincinnati for who they used to be and not who they are. Alex Gold said it great earlier. We talk about a four-win team like they're an eight-win team. We have spent the last year and a half talking about how you don't want to match up against Cincinnati and how they can get hot and all they need to do is get healthy. And since Dr. Dre left the halftime stage, they have been a below 500 team. They missed the postseason last year. They are currently under 500. And every time you kind of think, hey, all right, you know, they got something going here. Game one of the season, they got New England at home. They lost to the Patriots. They were one game under 500 2 weeks ago with a home game against the Philadelphia Eagles. They got beat 37-17, and the game was not competitive in the second half. At this point, I think we have seen who's real. Kansas City is real. Baltimore is real. Buffalo is real. The Lions are real. The Commanders, I think, are real. There's a handful of teams that I think we know. I think we also know who the bad teams are in the league. I think we all keep kind of waiting for Cincinnati to show us that they are closer to the good side of things than the bad side of things. I don't know if that's the case. They got two games over the next 10 days. They got Baltimore on the road, and they got the Chargers on the road. You go win both of those games, and you get over 500, and you got two wins over possible playoff teams. Sure, we can revisit this conversation, and maybe you guys will tell me I'm wrong about Cincinnati. But you got to beat somebody at some point. And we are running out of time for you to say that it's early. Some of you already have your Christmas tree up. Some of you put your Christmas lights up. Some of you have plans to do it this weekend, and they're still under 500 in the midst of all of that. The AFC, at least when we are talking about the wild card, it's pretty wide open. Now, there are seven spots for the playoffs, and I think we can say at least we know four, maybe five of those teams. Kansas City's making the postseason. Buffalo is making the postseason. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Houston. Let's say that you feel that those five teams are making the postseason. Well, all right then. The other four teams are the Chargers, Broncos, Colts, and the Bengals. I'm not putting the Jets in that conversation. I don't think they're a playoff team. So you got four teams fighting for two spots. Now, I think if I had to ask you guys, well, which team would you rather play in the postseason? You'd rather play the Chargers, you'd rather play the Broncos, you'd rather play the Colts than play the Bengals. But the Bengals got to start getting consistent. They got to start getting healthy. They got to start getting right, and they got to start winning those kinds of games. And the thing I would say about Cincinnati is, man, all of those teams you got on the schedule, all the teams that are ahead of you, you play in the second half of the season. Baltimore's ahead of you. You play them. The Chargers are ahead of you. You play them. Pittsburgh is ahead of you. Denver is ahead of you. And you might really need that game if we are talking about the wild card and who's going to make the postseason and who's not. So at least for me, man, it's go time with Cincinnati. I'm not making any more excuses about, hey, well, you know they always start slow. All right, well, we've seen 10 weeks of the NFL. We're more than halfway done with the season, and all they've shown me is they are below average football team. Cincinnati is no different than the Arizona Cardinals. In fact, I would say they're more inconsistent than the Arizona Cardinals. They are a team that is still living off of what they did 18 months ago, and they are not showing us really anything of late to really put them in some of the conversations, Rob, that we do.
How much of this conversation is unique to Kansas City? Let's say me and you are doing the show, and we're doing the show in, let's pick a good city, a good NFL town. I can be like, Lester, we're in Charlotte. Let's say we're doing the show in a good NFL city. Me and you are in the Bay Area. The Niners went to the Super Bowl. That we're in a good NFL, we're in Dallas. So we have the Cowboys, the biggest thing in the sport. No matter what, we have the most loud, brash owner. Do you think Dallas today is talking about Cincinnati? Do you think San Francisco is? Do you think if Danny Parkin is doing the show at 6:30 to score, they're talking about Bengals and Ravens tonight? I don't think so. I think what you just said is logically correct. We should stop treating them like an 8-win team and treat them like the 5-win team they are. But the reason they get talked about, specific to this market, and why we do a lot of the, oh, well, watch out, they can do this, they could do that, is because they do it every time they play Kansas City. Kansas City and Cincinnati do not play blowout games. They play nail biters. They play games where it is down to the final minutes. We can look back at each game. There was the walk-off touchdown, all the flags in Cincinnati. There was the Butker miss in Cincinnati. There was the AFC title game where the Bengals won in overtime. There was the ensuing game where the Chiefs then won on a last second kick. The Chiefs this year won by 1 point over the Bengals. Even the Jake Browning Bengals were in a one score game deep into the third quarter against the Kansas City Chiefs. You know why? Because the Bengals are the Chiefs' rival. The fans don't like that team. The fans don't like that fan base, and it works both ways. So the reason they come up so often, I think, is unique to our market. Because we don't talk about the Chargers that much, because largely fans view the Chargers as ho-hum, who cares, they're going to charger at some point, and they snicker and chuckle. But the Bengals get under their skin way more often. So I think what you're saying logically makes sense, but you then have to throw the veil of rivalry on that comment and understand they get talked about because Kansas City dislikes them.
I completely understand what you're saying. I don't disagree with what you're saying. It all makes perfect sense to me. But in order to play the Chiefs in the postseason, you have to make the postseason. We spent a lot of time last year talking about how the Chiefs match up against Cincinnati. They didn't make the postseason. If you ask people right now, hey, who's the team you'd be most worried about if they made the postseason? I'm sure some of you would give the answer of Cincinnati. Right now, they're the 9th team in the AFC, and 7 of them make it. So, you're right. Hey, if Cincinnati gets back to 500, they start playing better football, they get hot, they play with some momentum, happy to have that conversation. It is not hyperbole. It is not a hot take. Cincinnati has not proven to us they are a good team since Cooper Kupp scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. It's a long time ago that has happened. So at some point, and maybe that time is not right now, maybe they go on the road and they win today against the Baltimore Ravens. We have to start talking about what Cincinnati is and not what we think they can be. I don't know what the best version of Cincinnati is. And what I think separates the Chiefs from most of these other teams in the NFL is, sure, Cincinnati has fallen on some hard times, right? Their wide receiver was hurt. Their wide receiver, another one, wanted to get paid. This guy wanted to trade. This guy wanted to trade. Man, Kansas City has had almost all of the same problems that Cincinnati has had over the last 18 months and has found a way to keep it together. Cincinnati has not figured out a way to keep it together. All the teams that were good in the AFC when the Bengals went to the Super Bowl are still good today. Kansas City's still good. Buffalo was still good. Baltimore is still good. All the teams that were bad then, a majority of those teams are still bad. The Raiders are no different now than they were back then. The Jets are no different now than they were when they... The only thing that's changed is Cincinnati, and it's not changed for the good. They haven't continued to maintain that level of play. They've really, really fallen off. So today is a really big day to me for Cincinnati. They had one of these games a couple of weeks ago against Philly, and they got blown out. They got... The remaining games that they have for November, they play Baltimore, the Chargers, and Pittsburgh. Those are three, if the playoffs started today, teams. Go 2-1 in that conversation. Go 2-1. You are 500 heading into December, and we can start to have a serious conversation again about the Cincinnati Bengals. Until otherwise, I'm treating them like a disappointing AFC team because that's what they've been so far this season. If I read you guys the list of teams in the AFC that are all under 500, you don't think that any of those teams are good. That is the conversation that they are currently in the AFC. All right, Rob, let's get to the hits.
It's 5 o'clock, and your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home. Might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C-Dot and Rob. This is The Hits, number one.
Kings of the Hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Will Carrington pivoting away from Thursday Night Football into the Kansas City Chiefs game this upcoming weekend against the Denver Broncos. It is sandwiched in between a Monday night game with the Bills game looming. It's noon. It doesn't even have Nance and Romo. Are those the makings? Could it be potentially Sunday is a trap game for the Kansas City Chiefs?
You know what? Let's just make this the lone hit for the day, and you can fade the music out. I appreciate you. Shout out to Baker University. That's number one. Shout out to Baker.
You don't want me to do my hit about how KU plays Carolina tomorrow?
We can do that. We can do that at 5:30. How about that? We'll do that at 5:30. We can talk about your little basketball team playing another little basketball team. We can talk about that coming up in just a little bit. I am a little bit worried about this game. Now, it's that balance of usually when I'm kind of high on a team, you guys normally think that I'm going to jinx the team, or if I'm too low on a team, I'm negative Nancy, whatever it is. I don't really care this week. I do think this is a pretty interesting spot. Denver has played Kansas City, I would say, pretty competitively over the course of the last couple of years, even though there is a pretty noticeable gap between these two teams. I think Denver's defense is actually kind of good. I think that their quarterback poses a couple of unique challenges. He's kind of mobile. They can run the football. They got a good defense. I think they got a good coach. And what worries me about this game is what we've seen, I guess, over the course of the season is you can kind of knock Denver out. I mean, that's what happened last week. They played one of those elite teams. Baltimore is one of those kind of teams. Baltimore just made it not close. Just blew them out from the beginning. Beat them 41-10. Game was not close, not competitive in the second half of the game. That's not really what I think Kansas City is. They're not that kind of team. They're not Mike Tyson. They're Floyd Mayweather. They're Manny Pacquiao. They're going to beat you up. They're just going to win on the scorecard at the end. When you look at the 12 rounds, it's going to be obvious what team landed more punches. It's going to be obvious what team landed more body blows, more uppercuts, more headshots. They're just not going to knock you out. That's what I think Kansas City has been. I do worry heading into this game. You've been kind of walking on a tightrope, so to speak, I would say in the final 20 minutes of a lot of these games. I'm not going to say you're fortunate. You continue to win these games, and that's been a theme over the course of the last 5 years, but Tampa Bay kind of had Kansas City on the ropes a little bit last week. If they get that version against Denver, I think Denver could win this game. We were talking about it earlier. I think Kansas City goes 14-3 this year. I think they could lose one of the two games to the Broncos. So they either lose Sunday or the one at the end of the season because they don't need to win that game at the end of the year. And the Broncos maybe do need that game because of the wild card. I think they could lose next week to Buffalo, and I would look at those three games that they have around Christmas time. On the road against Pittsburgh, they got the game at home against Houston, and then they have Pittsburgh on Christmas Day. Three games in 11 days for a banged-up team at the end of the season. I could just see them going 2-1 in that stretch. This is one of the games to me that, hey, what kind of effort are you going to come out with, and are you going to have the same kind of energy for it? It does have a lot of the trap game kind of vibes. You played on Monday Night Football. You had a dramatic overtime win. You have the most important game of your schedule coming up next week against the Buffalo Bills. What's your week like? Mahomes is dealing with a little bit of an injury. Kareem Hunt didn't practice. You still got some wide receivers that are banged up right now. This is a really, really dangerous spot. For those of you that think the Chiefs have a chance of going undefeated, these are the kind of games that to me are like the swing games. These are the games that I would say if you lose four or five games over the year, this is one of the games that you lose over the course of the season. You still have a phenomenal season. You just don't go undefeated. Do they have the energy to win this game? I think is going to be a really interesting question for a team that, if you're the Broncos certainly need this game more than Kansas City, and Denver does pose some unique problems with the ability to kind of put a scare into the Chiefs.
I think this game has all the makings of a letdown factor. It's a short week, so it's a weird week for the Chiefs, and not just weird like, oh, it's, you know, they have to condense. The Broncos are coming off a game where, let's be honest, they got embarrassed. They didn't just lose to the Ravens. They got humiliated. That's an NFL team. That's an NFL team that's occupying a playoff spot right now. I don't know they're going to want to get humiliated again. And as much as the Chiefs will tell you when they speak to the media, you know, just one game at a time, one day at a time, we're just, you know, playing the opponent who's in front of us, blah, blah, blah. They know the Bills are coming. And we know it. They know it. Everyone knows it. The NFL world knows it. It is hard to not have a little bit of a letdown factor. And I mean, that doesn't result in it being a trap. Maybe it's just an ugly 24-20, and you kind of think, why didn't they dispose of that team a few quarters ago? But that's kind of how trap games go, and the Chiefs have been a little bit of a high wire act, and if we think there's a chance for a letdown factor, it just feels like it has all the ingredients to have that trap game type of feel.
Yeah, and that's why I asked a question earlier when we talked about this is, I would say in each of the last 5 years, they have had a game that we used to just say, oh, that's the Andy Reid game. In 2019, they lost to Indianapolis on Sunday Night Football, and they also lost to Tennessee that year. In 2020, they lost early in the season to the Raiders, and that's the game where the Raiders drove the bus around the stadium. In 2021, you remember, they got blown out by the Saints. The Saints beat them 21-3, and they were 3-4 to start the season, and then they turned it around and went to the AFC Championship game. In 2022, they had the loss to the Colts with Matt Ryan. Remember where Chris Jones said something? We'll never know what he said, even though there are so many cameras and microphones. He said something to Matt Ryan, and they threw the flag. And then last year, they lost to the Broncos 24-9. Do you think that this year's Chiefs team is above that loss? Or do you think that loss doesn't happen this season to Kansas City? If you don't think that loss happens to Kansas City this year, they go 15-2, 16-1. That's a realistic possibility with this team if you think they avoid one of those games this year. And I think this is one of those possibilities, and if you look at kind of the rest of their schedule, I don't really know if there's too many other teams that I would kind of put in that conversation. We mentioned the Christmas Day schedule. That's just, it's a really, really difficult game. They play a game on the 15th of December, the 21st on December, and the 25th of December. So that's just a really, really difficult stretch to win all three of those games. But after you get past Buffalo, you got Carolina, Vegas, the Chargers at home, and it's going to be a real conversation for a lot of people about what this team's record going to be and if they can actually do it. So this is a really important spot to me for Kansas City. They've been banged up a little bit. Mahomes is dealing with an ankle injury. The Broncos are playing a little bit better. How focused do they come out here? You mentioned kind of a sloppy kind of game. We've seen a lot of Chiefs wins like this over the course of the last couple of years. It was kind of like what happened earlier in the season with the Los Angeles Chargers, where they are down 10-0 early in the game and they just figure it out in the second half. I could see that being this kind of game against the Broncos. Just given how the Chiefs have played, I would be surprised if they blew the Broncos out. They just don't have many of those wins over the course of their last 12 wins. This just feels like a game they're going to have to grind out against a team that I think admittedly has improved.
I agree with that. I don't know if that's unique to this game, though. They have to grind out every game. The Chiefs don't blow anyone out. You mentioned all the other Andy losses, and if the Chiefs are above the fray for an Andy loss in 2024. I don't think so. Now, maybe this is me and just my opinion, and that's fine. The 2020 version of the Chiefs was the best version of the Chiefs we've seen in the Patrick Mahomes era. They had a really good defense. They brought everyone back from the Super Bowl team. That offense had the Legion of Zoom plus Kelce, the peak of his powers. Remember, that was the one gear that Clyde Edwards-Helaire was actually good. Like, before all the injuries, the 2020 team was great. You know the 2020 team had? They had a letdown game at home. They lost at home to the Raiders. And so if I think that version of the Chiefs is the best version of the Chiefs we've seen in Patrick Mahomes' era, and that version had a letdown, I think at some point the 2024 team does have a letdown. I don't know if it's this weekend of the Broncos, but I would circle that, you know, Browns game. They're a little more salty recently. I would circle that Chargers game. Maybe the Steelers, a team me and you don't believe in on a short week. Maybe that team gets them. But they do feel like they are going to have a letdown because it is too often the trend with the Chiefs.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to Thursday Night Football. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob, we did talk about the Bengals and the Ravens game, and neither one of us gave a pick on who we think is going to win today. I do think that the Bengals are going to cover today. I think that's the right side to be on, given the fact that it's a divisional game and these two teams play each other close. Lamar Jackson is just, they've always beaten the Bengals. Like, there's teams that kind of give other teams trouble, and the Ravens, when healthy, have just given the Bengals a lot of trouble. I don't trust the Bengals enough to pick them to go on the road and beat this team, so I'm going to take the Ravens today to win. I wouldn't take them in the spread. I would take Cincinnati in the points, but I do think that Baltimore is going to win today. What side are you on?
I'm with you on that one. I'm trying to find this stat. I believe someone on our group text said that Lamar Jackson is like 9-1 or something outlandish against the Bengals. Like, some people just have someone else's number. It doesn't make any sense, but it just is what it is. Like, remember the Chiefs had, Patrick Mahomes' Chiefs had beaten the Broncos like 15 times in a row or something ridiculous. So I think if I were betting the line, I would take the Bengals, but the Ravens to actually win the football game or the play. And the Bengals are beat up. Like, T. Higgins is doubtful. I saw Orlando Brown Jr. is out. Short week, travel, and you're beat up.
They just added a running back, too, because they got Khalil Herbert. Yeah, like, that's going to play today.
That's not a recipe for winning, is short week, beat up, on the road.
Do you think Cincinnati's making the postseason? Because it sounds to me like you were still holding out a little bit of hope that Cincinnati can turn things around. Are you picking them to make the postseason? I'm out on the Bengals. I've already kicked a little dirt on them. I've already had a little swan song for them. It doesn't sound like you are ready to do that. It sounds like you still think they got a shot to turn things around.
I do, and part of it is schedule-driven. Let's say they lose tonight. They have a long week to get ready for Sunday Night Football against the Chargers. Okay, maybe they lose that one. Then they're 4-7. Steelers at home after a bye week. Okay, toss-up game. Then it's Cowboys, Titans, Browns, Broncos. There is a window there to clean up. So if they can keep their head above water and their next three go 2-1, 1-2, whatever, there's a chance they can start to gobble up some wins. And I think 9-8, 10-7 gets you into the postseason. I'm also not a Broncos postseason believer. They seem like a team that you talked about the Dolphins last year, a team that was just a 6A team that was throttling 4A schools.
That kind of feels like the Broncos.
That kind of feels like the Broncos. Yeah. And you know what? Their schedule doesn't have exclusively 4A schools on it. It gets bigger, stronger, and tougher, including the Chiefs twice, a trip to LA to take the Chargers on. Like, I think the Broncos get a little humbled here and they finish like 7-10. So I'm hoping for it, but I still believe there is a shot the Bengals could be a postseason team.
Yeah, I would say at least for the Broncos, and this is probably for the other teams that are in that, like, others receiving votes categories in the AFC. We will have all our answers about the Broncos in the next 10 days. The Broncos over the next 10 days, they play Kansas City on Sunday, and they play Atlanta on the 17th. So literally in 10 days, they will have played Baltimore on the road, Kansas City on the road, and home against the Falcons. Three playoff teams. I would say three contending teams. I think that Baltimore is a legitimate contender, and I think that Atlanta, you could maybe argue they're the second, third best team in the NFC. Atlanta is a very good team. We will know everything that we need to know about the Broncos. The NFL is really a what have you done for me lately kind of league, and I would say a lot of the perception about the Broncos kind of comes from two things. Their defense has been really good, and so far over the course of the season, they have only let two teams score more than 21 points against them, so that's a pretty impressive feat, I would say, for the Broncos. And they went on the road and beat Tampa Bay when Tampa Bay was fully healthy. Now, since that game against Tampa Bay, which was pretty early on in the season, their wins are the Jets, Raiders, Saints, and the Carolina Panthers. So the Broncos haven't beaten anybody in a while either. If you want to be a playoff team, usually the test is how you perform against other playoff teams. We know that Kansas City is the playoff team. We think Atlanta is a playoff team. Again, in 10 days, we will know everything we need to know about the Broncos on whether we should take the Broncos seriously or not. If you go 2-1 during that stretch or go on the road and beat Kansas City, I think you got to start taking the Broncos kind of seriously as, hey, maybe that's not a team you want to match up with in the first round of the NFL playoffs. Could they knock off a Buffalo? Could they knock off a Baltimore in the first round of the playoffs? But if they go 0-3 in this stretch, there's no reason to talk about the Broncos again. They're not for real.
I think, to further my point, if the Broncos do pull off an upset this weekend or even next weekend, I think my Bengals opinion may change. Like, let's say the Bengals lose tonight. I still would hold out that there is a glimmer of hope they can make a postseason team. We had the stats last week. Teams under 500 at this point in the NFL season still find a way to make the playoffs. So someone is doing it. The stats indicate. Now, maybe it's two NFC teams, but it is. But two a year make it since the expansion. The Bengals are kind of what I'm holding out hope for. But if the Broncos show to be more real than I believe they are, then the Bengals are dead and gone. So a lot of my Bengals belief comes from the fact that I am selling Broncos stock heavy.
Let's talk a little bit of college basketball before we get out of here. Tomorrow, you are going to the KU North Carolina game. I got a chance to go to KU UConn last year. It was just, I thought I was watching the two best teams in college basketball. Now, UConn ended up being one of those teams, not really the team that KU ended up being. I think you and I both love and appreciate college basketball. The coolest thing about this game is it is happening in front of college students. Far too many times in these non-con games, they usually play these games at a neutral site. They play them in Atlanta, or they play them in Chicago or Indianapolis, or they play Duke and Kansas in Las Vegas, where college basketball, like college athletics, it's at its best when these games are on campus and they are played in front of college students. So I don't know what their agreement is. I'm guessing that North Carolina is not going to KU without a get back next year. So we need more of these home and home games. If your team's like KU and North Carolina, there is no negative in you playing these games. What are you worried about? You're going to make the NCAA tournament. Has no bearing on if you win your league or not. And if you win, it's obviously a big positive for your RPI or whatever system they're using now to determine whether or not you are one of those kind of teams or not. And if you lose, who's faulting North Carolina? Carolina for losing at Allen Fieldhouse in November. There is no reason not to play these games if you are Kentucky or Kansas or Duke or North Carolina or any of those kind of teams. It is only great for your team to play in those environments, play against the best teams, and it's obviously great for the sport to have those kind of matchups.
The last point you made is 1,000% correct. First and foremost, I agree with you on the whole. Play these games in front of college kids. It's worth noting the Duke game in Vegas. Kansas wanted that to be a home and home, but Duke said no. Duke won a neutral site. So keep in mind that Duke's a bunch of cowards. Secondarily, this is a no loss, all reward for the sport. Let's be honest. When we were kids, college basketball had a lot more juice. It doesn't have the same juice it does now. You know what could help it get that juice back? Remember Feast Week? They had all those tournaments, and then they had like a week of really good non-con games. We need to get back to that. If KU is going to play Michigan State, put it in East Lansing. If Kentucky is going to schedule a game against Gonzaga, put one in Spokane and one in Lexington. The idea that, you know, oh man, can you believe it? It's going to be Ohio State, Texas, which was a good college basketball game a few nights ago. It was in Vegas. As far as the something-something classic, you're telling me you can't get that game on campus? You can't get your students excited? You can't get your fan base excited? In November, it is pretty rare for college basketball that you're going to go travel to watch your team. But you would go to the local arena. A sport that needs juice needs more games like this, and the team should be willing to do it because there's no punishment. Let's say KU loses. If KU loses North Carolina, their seeding isn't affected. Their ability to make the tournament isn't affected. If anything, in March, when we're, you know, arguing about resumes, you know what people will say? Oh, they played North Carolina this year. If anything, it's a net positive. There are almost no negatives to this. So play games, play them on campus, and let's get some buzz back into this sport.
Yeah, I mean, I think that college basketball is running into the same problem that every sport that's not football is. Football takes up more room than it did when we were kids, too. The football season is longer, and they play on more days than when we were kids. So if you are going to compete in the regular season, you got to create more events. I don't think the NBA Cup is perfect, but it gives you a reason to kind of care about the NBA in the early part of the regular season. If you're baseball, that's kind of what interleague play was. Oh, wait, there's going to be a two-week stretch where I can see Kansas City play the Cardinals and I can see the Giants play the A's and I can get these fun matchups that happen over the course of the season. It is a little bit disappointing that college basketball used to kind of have that marquee day and event. 24 hours where you were – it turn on ESPN, they're going to be playing college basketball. These sports have to be willing to kind of create those moments and create those benchmarks where you're not going to be able to keep people's attention from start to finish in these regular seasons anymore. Like, we can talk about NIL and all these things. I'm sorry, America is not paying attention to college basketball in December when football is going on and the college football playoffs are going on. It is a niche sport in that way. The NBA, I'm sorry, you're not keeping people's attention from Halloween until the 4th of July. No, that's not the way that it's working. Baseball, you're not doing the exact same thing, but you got to create more moments and reason for people to care in the regular season of your sport, because the regular season takes up way more time than the postseason. March Madness is great. It's three weekends. There's a lot of weekends in college basketball. Those weekends could be filled with more games like KU and North Carolina. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive. Who's coming up after us today, Rob? Who are we
handing things off to? Players Only with Dane and Hughes.
Oh, okay. Shout out to Players Only. I was thinking this, and I want you guys' opinion, 913-586-7965. Now, I'm not really a big Marvel fan. I don't really hate Marvel movies. They're just not really my thing. But I know some of you are really into Marvel movies, so maybe you'll like this analogy. It feels like the Chiefs are a superhero movie. Now, I've seen enough Marvel movies to kind of know how the art goes. We get introduced to the character. We usually get introduced to a love interest pretty early on in the story, and we start to learn about the powers of this individual. And then as the movie goes on, the hero faces some kind of conflict in the middle of it. And then as the movie transitions from the second act to the third act, you know what? Things start to look kind of down for the hero. And you're wondering, man, I wonder how the hero is going to get himself out of it. You know he's going to get himself out of it, but you got to see, hey, Dr. Ock, he's actually kind of tough. He's a worthy adversary for Spider-Man. And you know what happens as the movie keep going? Spider-Man gets some great idea. Spider-Man starts to figure things out. You know what? In the final 30 minutes of the movie, Spider-Man figures it out. Spider-Man gets the girl. You leave happy. And you know what? They are going to sell you the exact same movie the next time. Is that not what the Chiefs season is? Every Chiefs game is the exact same. Chiefs get off to a pretty decent start. I would say more times than not, the other team scores on their first drive. It's usually kind of close in the middle. The Chiefs, most of the time, have a chance to kind of blow the game open. Like, they'll be up 10-3, and they've got the ball, and they got a chance to go up 17-3. And with that defense and obvious passing downs, they really got a chance to take control of the game. They usually don't take control of the game. The other team kind of finds some momentum and keeps it close. You'll probably say a curse word on the couch or something. You're like, oh, man, I can't believe it. This defense stinks. And you probably want them to fire somebody in the middle of the game. But you know in the end, they're not going to stop making Spider-Man movies. Like, they're going to keep making them. So you know the Chiefs are going to win, but you just got to go through the cycle at some point. They show Taylor Swift up there, and she looks a little bit down, but you know she's about to be happy in a little bit, and they score. They go on some long drive. Their defense gets off the field, and you know what, man? You leave Arrowhead like, man, you know what? That was a fun game, man. I can't wait to come back next week. Every Chiefs game is a superhero movie. That's what it is. It's every Spider-Man movie that you've seen. Spider-Man always wins at the end. There's just enough drama to keep you coming back. But ultimately, you don't want to see Spider-Man lose. That's not what you're paying for. You're not paying to see Spider-Man get beat up by the Rhino character. You're not paying for that, or Sandman, or whatever villains he has. No, you pay to see Spider-Man win in the end. Isn't that what every Chiefs game is? Baker Mayfield's expression is it was so perfect for the moment. One of my dear friends, when Tampa Bay kicked the extra point, he texted me and said, I'm going to bed. I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? It's a tie ball game with less than 30 seconds to go. You're just done. He's a Broncos fan. He's like, I've seen this move. I know what's about to happen. They're going to win. I know that. Baker Mayfield's reaction told me everything I needed to know. The rest of the league knows too. Everybody knows. You're about to give that team the ball at the end of the game, and all they got to do is score a touchdown. We're losing. And Baker should have started walking to the showers at that point. His day was done. He was never getting another opportunity to get back on the field. They had their chance to win. They had their chance to beat up Spider-Man. They didn't take it. Every Chiefs game is the same game on a loop. Every single time. Someone said the Chiefs are like Rocky in the first half and Rocky 2 in the second half. Yeah, kind of. That's kind of how it is. Every Chiefs game is the same. That's the only team in the NFL, I guess, that's like that, too. Like, every Bills game is not the same. Every Ravens game is not the same. Every Chiefs game, it's the same. It's the same. Every single one. And we'll watch it. Sunday will probably be the same, too.
I will say, feels like they're playing with fire, but it does seem like they pull it out in the end every single time.
Every time. You're not watching these games to watch them lose. Like, no, you're watching them to win, and they're going to keep winning. That's just how they roll.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.